Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. We are beginning ministry. And
Greetings from Ohio. Our ministry has been at Alliance Active for a few years, 3 years. And we welcome you to listen to us every Wednesday evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And we would like to work to you. Again, this is an interactive Bible study. So we expect and we welcome each and every one of you to join us in conversation as we dive into the Word. Again, if you're moving around, if you're using a Bluetooth, please refer to your phone, take it off of Bluetooth speaker, use your phone, and if you have to move around, I need you to put it on mute, okay? Most of the lines are open right now. Most of the lines are open right now, so we're going to get ready to get started. Our speaker this evening is Pastor Paul D. Robinson out of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, near the border of Alabama, and his title of his message this evening is Why We Shouldn't Give Up. Father God, we praise your name, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to study your word, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, for giving Pastor Paul a message, Father God, to share with us, Father God, and to be archived, Father God, to share with those who will listen afterwards, dear Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you bless him and use him continuously. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we thank you. Pastor Paul, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Hi, Pastor Paul Robinson is here. Pastor Robinson, I'm sorry I called you Pastor Paul. I hope that wasn't offensive
anyway. No, ma'am, okay. That's fine.
Okay, if you would, you have the floor. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for leading us. We're eager to hear and to participate in the word that the Lord has given you to share this evening.
Amen, amen. How's everyone doing this evening?
We're blessed.
Amen. Amen. I pray that God has blessed each one of you during this week and during this Christmas season. I pray that we still understand and realize that Jesus is the reason for the season. Even though Christmas is gone, it's just now starting again. Amen. Tonight, I wanted to share with you all something that's dear to my heart, and that is words of encouragement, words of inspiration that come from the Word of God. And in our scriptures tonight, if you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. And in our scriptures tonight, I'm going to read to you. I know most of you may have the King James Version. But as I looked at this today, I looked at it from the New Living Translation. And I want to read that tonight, if you'll just bear with me, from the New Living Translation. And it reads, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes discipline in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I myself might be disqualified. That is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Tonight, I want us to look at this scripture, and y'all bear with me. It's the first time I've been on a radio show in quite some time, but y'all just hang in. If I get ahead of myself, it'll be okay. But see, what we have to understand in our lesson tonight is that the Christian life that was given to us, it was never promised to be an easy life to live. But in our scriptures, we see that Paul constantly reminds us that we must have a purpose and a plan because, see, we understand that at times this race will be difficult, and Satan, he's always on the attack. How many of you know that Satan is on the attack? But see, we never persevere without the promise of the prize that God has for us, and God always has kept His promise of that prize. In our lesson tonight, I want to look at three things, and we'll talk about them individually. I want to look at God's purpose, our purpose. I want to look at God's plan. And I want to look at the prize. Amen. If you will see in your scriptures here, verse 24 says that, do you know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? And it says, run in such a way to get the prize. And we'll get back to that a little bit later. But number one thing is our purpose in life. And our purpose in life is to run to get that prize. See, as I said earlier, the Christian race is not easy. A lot of people think it is. They think that when you get saved, you just, you know, shout hallelujah and praise the Lord, and then God takes care of everything. But what they don't realize is that the devil is coming. In this race, there are going to be stumbling blocks. The devil's going to be on the sideline, and he's going to be throwing stumbling blocks out to try to trip you up. Hallelujah. I know that for a fact because I myself have been tripped up. And in this race, our purpose is, and you all can elaborate on it here in just a minute, to run straight to the goal. Run straight to the goal. And I encourage everybody that while you're running, try not to get off track. And if you do get off track, try to find a way back. You know, there's a way put in place for us to get back to the Word of God, to get back on track. The Bible says narrow is the gate. The way to heaven is a narrow path, but the roads to destruction are broad. But what we have to do is stay on that straight and narrow, and our purpose in life is to run in this race like we've never ran before, especially in today's time with everything happening in our lives today and all around us, all the deaths, all the bomb threats and whatever, you know. But we have to run this race for a purpose, and our purpose is to try to get somewhere. So the mics are open for anybody that want to elaborate on our purpose, and then I'll get to our plan.
Any comment?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Ma'am?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Okay. Verse 25, our plan, the God's plan for our life. Listen, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, I won't stop right there. Goes into strict training. We are to train our bodies. We are to train our mind to run in this race that is set before us. And in training, first thing an athlete has to do is get a plan together. He has to set things, or she has to set things in order what they're going to do for that day of training.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same way. It's the same way in our Christian life. We have to get up every morning with a plan, with a new plan for the day. We have to start our day off in prayer and in scripture, training our bodies, training our minds to follow God's plan. You see, God's plan is different from our plan. Sometimes we'll get up and we'll just go through the day as like the day is nothing. But see, God has a plan for us, and sometimes he'll put us in a place, or he'll put us in a position, or he'll put somebody in our way to see if we're going to follow through with his plan. Going back a little bit to last week when we were talking about helping other people and doing for other people, we have to understand that when somebody comes our way, now that's part of God's plan for them to be in our path, because God knows that we're going to help them. But listen, God's plan is to deny yourself whatever is potentially harmful. You see, we got to stay out of the way of things, people of God. We have to stay out of the way of things that's going to hurt our credibility to God. We have to stay out of the way of things that's going to hurt or kill our testimony.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes we lose in that fight. We lose that plan, and we get caught up. I'm sorry. We get caught up, or we get thrown into something that we shouldn't be thrown into, or a conversation, or listening to something, or looking at something that we shouldn't be listening to. But we got to deny ourselves of all the stuff, all the things that Satan is going to put out before us. We got to leave it alone. And I know temptation is great sometimes. Sometimes we're tempted to do things, or we're tempted to look at things, or we're tempted to hear things. But we have, if that's anything that's going to harm our bodies or harm us in God's plan for our lives, we need to stay away from it.
Amen.
We've got to discipline ourselves. Just like an athlete, I know that I'm talking to somebody tonight that's an athlete, and you know how you go into strict training. You know how you go into discipline yourself to go into a race, or to go into a fight, or to go into a basketball or football competition, and your main focus is on winning. And that's what we got to be. We got to get ourselves focused on winning. Amen. Any comments?
Amen. 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 You were right. I was thinking today about, and actually I had a conversation with someone not too long ago about how, you know, sometimes Christians ruin their witness.
Uh-huh.
And you don't realize this, but the enemy, sometimes there's the overt, you know, temptation, like, you know, doing things physically that are inappropriate or gambling, cussing, you know, doing different things, smoking, whatever, you know, the Lord has, you know, we accept this sin that's overt, but there's the covert things too that we do, you know, like not putting the cart back when you, you know, take a cart out of the grocery store, you load your car up and you just push it aside instead of putting it in the bin or, you know, throwing trash on the ground or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's driving and gets in front of you. Do you cuss and, you know, do you give them the finger, you know, whatever. Those things too. And the Lord knows what we could be phony, fake and phony in front of other people or, you know, at church. But your neighbors are watching you. People are watching you. You're going to be able to witness to someone or lead someone to Christ if they remember you as the person that cussed out the cashier because they shorted you on change. You know, they see you. How they're going to extend invitations to you to their Bible study or prayer breakfast when they remember you as the person who was at the school, you know, or telling their child off or at the school telling the principal off or whatever, or out drinking, cussing and everything on Friday night, you know, because they saw you at the club, and here you are telling them to come to Bible study and talking about the Word of God. So we can ruin our, there's so many ways that we can ruin our witness. So the discipline of getting your life together, not that we come to Christ perfect, it's, you know, in perfection,
but
He wants us to be. He wants us to be authentic and honest. That you know, be what's real, because He sees it. He sees it. He knows. God knows everything, and you're not fooling anybody but yourself when you're fake and phony, one way in front of man and another way, you know, at church on Sunday. But the Lord knows the truth anyway. So we have to keep our walk. Our walk has to be pure. We have to be authentic so that when we reach out to other people, like what did you say at the end of the piece that you read? We don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I've witnessed to somebody, they got it, and here I am still standing here because I knew the word, but I didn't have Jesus. I truly didn't have the word in my heart. I didn't have Jesus in my heart. I didn't commit my life to Christ.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else? I read that, and I read the A part of that verse. Now listen to the B part of that verse. It says, it's talking about people and running the race. He says, they do it to get a crown that will not last. Now those are the crowns, a materialistic crown, the physical crown. He said, but we do it. Listen to that. We do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Amen.
Can you hear me?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Can someone hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, another thing about us being exemplifying Christianity, we have a lot of our pastors and ministers that they're going to church and they're doing what they want to do in church, and they're not being accountable for it.
Whoa,
right?
Amen.
And I feel as though people are looking at them. And those that like to party out in the streets or whatever, they love to have those type of pastors that go along with their, I would say, worldly ways.
Uh-huh.
Because the pastor has his worldly ways. You have a lot of pastors that are, they have deacons and they have elders in the church that are living raggedy lives. And everybody in the congregation know about it, even the pastor know about it, but they don't confront these leaders. Because the leaders, are supposed to exemplify Christianity before everybody do.
That's right.
In order to draw, I mean, you come as you are, but then as you get into the word's supposed to change your life.
Right.
Amen.
Be committed to reading the word, understanding the word, obeying the word, and living the word. And a lot of Christians, they want to live the way they want to live, and they want to say amen to everything that they do and think that what they do is okay to do. And I see a lot of Christians nowadays in church, and this one minister, he found out that one of his leaders in church, I think he was an elder, was living with this woman. And he told him that he could no longer be an elder because he can't live that lifestyle and be an elder in his church. Well,
that's right.
The man got mad with him, okay? Eventually, he was new. Eventually, they let him go because he was the type of pastor that was allowing any and everything in the church. The church is a holy place. People come dressed, half naked, in the church, okay, when you first come there, it's okay because you're getting to know what God's word is all about. But after you've been there for a while, I know that he came to heal the sick, okay?
Uh-huh.
And how long do you want to stay sick? Do you want healing?
Yeah.
It's a time that heal is a time for everything, time to be sick, a time to heal, okay? So, what I'm trying to say is we're beginning to amen those things that are wrong and boo those things that are right.
Yeah.
Right has become wrong and wrong has become right. Even in your political arena, if you look at America now, everything is an amen when it's wrong. And where are the Christians? Where are the pastors? Where were the leaders when all of this homosexuality was being appeal to the highest court? And then you have our leader as the president that amen that. And so many young people, because they look up to him, it's okay because our president, they don't know the God's word. That's why a lot of young people don't fear God. They don't know his word, so they're going to go with all our celebrities, all of our well-known politicians. When they say amen, then everybody say amen, but the Christian leaders go in the closet and hide. Whereas all these people that's doing wrong is coming out the closet saying, hey, we're right, you're wrong.
Uh-huh.
There's something wrong with that picture.
You know, I was just sharing with a guy today, one of my pastor friends, and we talked about why people don't come to church. And the main thing is because people like to be entertained. And
right.
And that's what the world does. The world entertains. People don't like to be told the truth about themselves. And even in the Christian race that we're talking about running, the truth is that if we don't run with perseverance, if we don't run with persistence, then the race, we're going to fall short in the race.
Somebody's going to fall down and can't get up.
and the thing about, I like to comment on what you said when you said come as you are. And I understand that we should come as we are, but don't stay like we were.
Right.
That should be a change.
As you read the word should change you.
Exactly.
Amen.
And as we get into this race, when you start a race, you start off one way, but you finish another. And even in the course of the race, things change. So you come one way, but you end up another way. And hopefully we don't end up being last. Listen, well, in Galatians chapter 6, it tells us to do not become weary in doing good. So,
amen.
If you're doing good in the Lord's work, don't let that wear you down. Don't become weary in that. And a lot of us preachers, did you know that thousands of preachers and pastors every year drop out of the race because they feel like they've been burnt out? They feel
That's
like
right.
they've been misconstrued. They feel like they've been put down so bad that the pressures get to them and they become weary in doing good. And see, we can't do that.
You also have to remember, you have some pastors in their church, they want to do everything. They will not allow certain people. They don't. Otherwise, they want to be involved in handling the whole church activity, the finance. They try to handle everything and don't want to delegate things to people. If they mm-hmm. delegate things to people, they delegate it only to those that's going to say yes, ma'am, and amen to everything that they do.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to be friends of the pastor. Well, when you go to church, you don't go to church to be entertained. I mean, you pray. You go there to praise the Lord, not to entertain yourself.
That's it.
You go there to hear the truth. And a lot of people, they go to church for, like you said, for entertainment more so than listening to the truth of God's word. That's why their lives can't be changed, because they want to live their life the way they want to live, and they want God to put a crown on their head.
Well, see that we have to understand that that's not going to happen, because we have to understand that first, I believe the 2 Corinthians Paul tells us that everyone has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they've got to answer for what they've done, whether it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You got to answer for it. So all these people, whomever may be following what Timothy calls itching ears, whoever's following that is heading in the wrong direction. And getting on to what I'm talking about tonight, why we shouldn't give up, we shouldn't let that cause us to fall short because somebody else falls short. And I understand that if somebody falls, if you're running and somebody falls, your partner falls, then you ought to help them get up. But if they don't want to get up, you have to keep running the race. Somebody has to stay in the race.
You have to leave them behind and keep on doing the work of the Lord. And then sometimes, like I say, if you confront your pastor about something you feel is not right, then you become the mark in the church, the black mark in the church.
Well, yes, sir.
Pastor Robinson, first of all, Christ came. He was the example. He came to show us what we need to do.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And he let the apostles spread throughout the spread the gospel out.
Uh-huh.
And in Philippians 3:12, it says that we're to press towards the goal. We got to keep pressing.
Right.
We got to keep moving on. We can't let situations get us caught up. We got to keep pressing. And also
right.
in the church, the leadership have to understand that as the pastor is the head of that particular church, he has his under shepherds, and he has to
right.
do just as Christ did. See, Christ didn't take all; he didn't do everything himself. He trained
right.
everybody,
that's right.
and then
that's
he
right.
set them and told them to go out. See,
uh-huh.
and that's what the pastors have to do in the churches. They have to have a good core group of allow him to do ministry. and that's the key, is to let them go out and do ministry, because Jesus has already come and set the example. He laid the foundation. So it's up to us to continue
Amen.
On with what he already laid out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because even Moses, remember, he was trying to hear everybody's problems, but his father-in-law told him he needs to delegate some work to other people.
That's what he said.
That's why some people get burnt out, because they're trying to handle everything. And
yeah.
they just don't want, they want certain people, and sometimes those certain people aren't dependable people.
Mm.
You have to pray over the people that you have in your church's leaders.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
You have to pray over everything in the church, because the devil comes in there with his little demons to try to destroy things in the church. And so you have to be prayed up even before you step in your church.
Amen.
They used to have a lot of, when I was little and I used to go to church with my mother, and they used to have prayer meetings. You know, they would have prayer meetings, and they'd be praying over everything.
Yes,
but yes. It seemed like they'd have lost that prayer, you know. And even pastors, there's a lot of enough pastors in the city of Cleveland to get together and have maybe every 3 months praying together as a congregation, everybody
yeah.
to pray. But they don't do that. It seems like everybody wants to be in control. Well, God is in control, and we need to get together as pastors and ministers and embrace one another. Everybody wants to be the big top leader here. Everybody wants a mega church now. It used to be just a church.
The thing is, what, first of all, we have to understand that there's only one body.
Right.
See, we keep on adding to the body. See, how many?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you know, Christ always talk about the body. See, but we keep adding parts to the body, and then we distort the church, because we're going on our own doctrine instead of what the Bible says, and that's what causes the problem. See, we got to stick to the Bible base, and that's what the foundation is. And when we start adding parts to the body, and not doing what's already there, what's already been laid out, the foundation. You can, how many homes you see build the foundation and then turn around and come back the next week and put a foundation on top of the foundation? So you don't see that. See,
right.
that's the biggest problem in the church today, is too many foundations on top of foundations. See, there's only one doctrine, and that's the doctrine that was laid out in the Bible. And we get on that, then all the churches can come together, because it's hard to come together and everybody got their own philosophy and it's different
yeah.
than what's already written.
Well, see, that's what has become of churches today, is somebody get mad because somebody's saying something or done something or won't do something the way they want it done. So therefore, a church becomes separated. We have become, as Christians, we have become a divided people and a separate people. And it's like we have gone our own ways. It's like everybody has their own God. When God is the maker and the creator of the world and the, everything that's in it. So all of us are part of his family. If we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we are an heir and a joint heir to the kingdom. So why we can't come together, why we can't run this race together, look, all of us are running this race to get the same prize.
Amen.
Y'all trying to get the same thing in Cleveland, Ohio, that I'm trying to get right here in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. You know, we're running toward the same goal, trying to get the
Amen.
Same prize. So,
okay,
what the mess up is while we're running, we start going different directions, getting shortcuts. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Everybody trying to take a shortcut to that prize, and there's no shortcut.
Amen. Pastor Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Clay.
I'm here, sir.
Yes. Okay. What is who is the person, the guest speaker today? This is Minister Bernice Washington. I just want to put down. I came in a little short.
This is Pastor Paul B. Robinson from South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. He's blessing us this evening.
Okay, Pittsburgh, Tennessee?
South Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to know. Okay, thank you.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to make a comment on your thesis topic,
Yes, sir.
In terms of we shouldn't give up. And being that we are also the body of Christ, because what I'm hearing is, even though that you're in Tennessee and we're in Ohio, that we all share the same concerns. When people fall short, they're looking at those who are in the church or who they're trying to emulate because they want to follow God. And then when they begin to start to see those who fall short in the Word of God, the first thing they say to themselves is, I can't do this. If they can't do it, I know that I can do it. So, kind of tailoring back to your topic, why we shouldn't give up, because we are the body of Christ. Someone falls short from making mistakes, we can't put our eyes on man. We can't keep our eyes on man. We can't look in terms of what man is doing. The focus is being keeping our eyes on Christ, on Jesus Christ. And that's why many fall short and many don't want to come to church, because they're looking to seeing what other Christians are doing, but no one is perfect.
The only one
is perfect is Jesus Christ. And so when many give up, it's because of what they see in the church or those who call themselves Christians.
I
just wanted to comment on that, just kind of tailoring back to what you're saying, because people falling short, and that's why they don't come to church.
Amen.
What can you tell me, what can we do in order to encourage more people to, especially our young people that are drifting away from the church, what can we do as a body of Christ to try to encourage them more to engage in church activities or to be visit more churches? What do you think we as the body of Christ can do, Pastor Clay?
I'd like to respond to that. One of the things that we can do, like I was talking about authenticity, somebody has voice behind you, telephone ringing. If you put your phone on mute, put your cell phone or your computer on mute, please, so that we don't hear the background noise. You can hear everything that's going on behind you. And then if you want to come back, the signal.
Okay.
One of the things you can do in response to the question about ministering to young people is to be honest and authentic. A lot of times we turn people off by pretending to be perfect or criticizing and judging young people when they come into the church. The other thing is that every generation has their own way of receiving. So if you're like a baby boomer, that's when music started changing. Our parents were into old-time gospel. The baby boomers began to get to more like praise and worship music. So you have to give the young people something that they can relate to. The other thing is you have to let them know that you're not perfect, that you've never been perfect, that you understand where they are, that you made some of the same mistakes they've made in your youth, and that they're loved. You got to accept them and welcome them the way they are. with the crazy clothes, with the piercings, the tattoos and everything, just the way they are. We came in with,
exactly.
I had the big afro, the big earrings, that look like hula hoops. you know what I'm saying? But sometimes people feel ministered to me. Regardless of what they look like. And the other thing is that we have to, it doesn't mean that you have to water down the gospel, but the way you serve it may be different. You should never, ever alter or water down the word, because what they want is truth. They don't want to be patronized. Nobody does. Nobody wants to be patronized. Nobody wants to be around somebody who thinks they're perfect and who's being fake and phony and not being honest. But I'll be honest with you, I suffered with so-and-so, so will you. You will live through it. You know, I still struggle with such-and-such, you know, because they look at you and think you're perfect and that they can't talk to you. But if you show that you're not perfect, that, yes, I stumble sometimes, I still pray that I won't cuss, you know, I still pray that I won't, you know, that I won't do something that's, you know, to grieve the Holy Spirit. I have to pray. I have to stay in prayer. Then they realize that you're human and that they can relate to you. But it's the folks that try to pretend like they're above everybody else, you know, like they're one step from Jesus or Junior Jesus.
And I believe what you're trying to say here is one of the things that I learned as growing up in the ministry. My former pastor, God rest his soul, he always told me that you got to meet people where they are. And back to what you were saying about telling the truth, a lot of times we don't tell the truth. And we put on this big act as if we're holier than thou. Yes, a lot of us are holy. But it's not spiritually holy. We've got holes. You see what I'm saying? We've got holes in our lives. And they also need to be filled. We just got to learn, even with our young people, because, sister, I struggle with that same thing here, trying to get young people back in the church or back in the fellowship. You know, people come to my church and they say, nothing's going on here. And I say, you know, nothing's going on because y'all, you know, the pastor can't be the preacher, the choir, the officers, the deacons, the ushers, you know, the pastor can't do it all. So, you know, we need bodies. We need bodies in our church to do this, to do things. And I know that we're running out of time here. But I've got one more thing I want to share, and that is in verse 27 of our scripture tonight. It says, Paul says, no, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So, you know, Paul is just saying here that we've got to be careful of what we preach. We've got to practice. We've got to practice what we preach. And he's not saying that he's going to lose his salvation or he's going to lose his relationship with God. He's simply saying what I said earlier, that he'll lose his testimony. See, if you don't have a testimony, you can't tell somebody else about the goodness of God if you don't have anything to give them. So Paul is just saying here that he don't want to be disqualified. And sometimes we got to look at ourselves, I think, and we got to focus on our own selves. And Paul said in one part of Romans, he says to examine yourself, and that's what we have to do is examine ourselves and make absolutely sure that we are not being disqualified. See, because as you were saying earlier, I forget who it was speaking earlier, about going out doing this and doing that and doing that and doing this, and then come back to the church and act like you haven't done anything, you know, you've ruined your testimony.
I also was wondering, you know, she was a lady was talking about how we have to do things for the young people now. Do you think that, I'm going to ask you a question, do you think that pastors should have dancing at the, in their church to satisfy or try to bring young people in the church? I'm just from the old school and I don't believe in, and I'm just wondering, is that okay for them to have the line dance and the dances down in the basement of the church?
Well, no, I myself don't agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with the two, but I said maybe I'm too old school. I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah, but here's the way I look at it. Here's
can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that's something that the church and the church leaders decide, because every church personality is different. Like some of the churches do exercises, like what is it called, Zumba exercise.
I don't think that just regular dancing.
No, because if you're going to bring in with the music of the world, how is that glorifying the Lord? You can't bring into God's house. You can't bring in things not of God into God's house. That's wrong. But there's other things that they can do in dance or in movement, if you're talking about this movement, as far as entertainment or things for the kids, other than that. And you don't have to, even though we try to minister to them from where they are, we don't have to drop our standards. So all of that twerking and all of this stuff, you know, the way they dance, it's shameful. And if we start doing that in the church, they won't see a difference between the world and the church.
That's right. That's right.
Well, okay. Now, if you felt as though that wasn't right, and do you think you as a member should talk to the pastor about it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now, you know you didn't said something once and you got blackballed for it. So
it
the second thing, do it anyway, huh?
See, the thing about it is you also have a standard in church as a member of that church. I myself had to call out a pastor one time here that he was going to have a football tournament in the church on video game, and they had this little pot that they all put money into, and the winner gets the pot, gets the prize. And I had to call him out and tell him that I'm not going to be a part of that, because that is wrong. That is wrong doing that, period, but especially wrong doing it in the house of the Lord. So, sir?
Amen.
Okay.
We have to think about, sister, if the Holy Spirit has given you, you prayed about it, and the Holy Spirit gave you the word and has given you that push to go and confront your pastor, and your pastor has refused to receive it. I won't say pastor. To confront and to give that word to the leadership, and the leadership refuses to receive the word or to act accordingly, it's on the pastor. It's not on you.
That's right.
You've done what
that's
you
right.
To do. If they so-called blackball you, turn up your nose at you, and you let that go, because you're responsible to respond to the Holy Spirit. You have to do as the Spirit leads you to do. You don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. You need to hear from the Holy Spirit. And when the time comes,
right.
if the Lord moves you someplace else where you can be received, you'll still have the blessing. You'll still have the blessing and take the Holy Spirit with you. If they refuse to listen, that's on them. That's not on you. And so what if they don't, if they look at you? If they can't, if the leadership is not receiving it as a word from the Lord or not even considering it, as being a word from the Lord, then there, that's where the problem lies. It doesn't lie with you giving the word.
I want to ask this young lady if it's okay. I don't know if you wanted to be, but I'm just going to put you on our prayer list. Simply because I feel in my spirit that you're dealing with something, and you seem like you're the only one. And to me, it sounds
like I might not be the only one, but a lot of times people don't speak up. They might feel that way.
Exactly.
They talk behind, but they won't speak up on it.
Okay.
This incident happened last year. And I didn't participate in, okay? Now, something is something that was presented, I say, two Sundays ago about this coming New Year's Eve. I just dismissed it. I just said, hey, I just leave it alone, and I just go to another church on that particular day.
But going to another church.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we think that solves our problem, but if we sit around long enough and look, that same problem is at that church also. That's not a perfect church, and any time that we think that there is a perfect church, and the moment we break the doors, it becomes imperfect.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. But if you done confronted an issue in the church and got blasted by your pastor once before, and then the congregation got mad at you, and you it seemed like you are outsider, even though you go every Sunday, then sometimes you leave things alone, and I just figured the Lord can take care of whatever.
Well. We do. We put it in God's hands.
Right.
But I ask you, that's just the work of the devil trying to run you off. Don't let him have the victory in running you away from where you want to be. Amen. Don't let the devil have that victory. And as I said earlier, Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10, it talks about, Paul says, don't become weary in doing good and well doing.
Right.
Don't let that get you discouraged and cause you to give up. Well, all you have to do, you put on the whole armor of God and you stand against the wiles of the devil. And when you've done all you can stand, then you stand.
Well, I just feel this way. I want to fast and pray at the beginning of the year because sometimes God has a different direction for you to go. And so I'm going to fast and pray and let God reveal the answer to me, what he wants me to do, because I really would like to know, what do you want me to do? Because when you see that you can't do too much in a church, and the reason why you feel as though, because you don't question a couple of things, and sometimes, like I say, the leaders don't like for you to question things, you know. So it's not my church, you know. I'd rather just
can I interject again?
Yes.
I
want to
say we have maybe about a minute left before you're going to, end the show.
Okay. Go ahead. We got about a minute left.
I wanted to say, at this particular church, are you being fed? Are you being fed? Is the word flowing? I mean, you getting blessed with the word?
I get blessed with the word, but it's a long story, and I just can't. Got a half of it. So, Pastor Clay, I'll talk to him, and then I'll give the information, email, or whatever, to Pastor Clay, okay?
Okay.
And I'll pass it on.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Pastor Paul Robinson, again, out of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and your message.
shared with us this evening why we shouldn't give up. It was very rich, and I know that there's more that you could say to us. I hope that you'll join us again next week as we minister. I want to remind all of the listeners to please share this on your Facebook and Twitter pages. You can also access this and other messages on our website, on the Blog Talk website. All of the messages have been archived. You can share it with a friend by highlighting and pasting, cutting and pasting the link to give this message to your friends. Please share. We welcome you next week. And again, we welcome you and thank you. Lord has been good. He has blessed us tremendously this evening. Happy New Year to you.
Amen.
Father
Happy
God,
New
we
Year
pray
to you
for this word. We thank you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that the word has been fruitful, been laid on fruitful ground, Father God, and that it has been received well. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Remember,
amen.
We love
amen.
You, God.
Amen.
I love you,
Amen.